You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It is Mike. Ken's on vacation this week. We'll start off with still some more Guardians of the Galaxy news after their big weekend last weekend. And I've also got some comic news in regards to Marvel's 75th birthday. And then, you know, of course, our new comic book day picks of the week. For Wednesday, August 13th, and so on. And some casting news as well. But we're going to start off with some Guardians of the Galaxy news. Actually, some news, some Easter egg reveal. So some of the Easter eggs you might catch in Guardians of the Galaxy. Some spoilers here. So be forewarned. Spoiler alert. One of the first is... actress Laura Haddock, who plays the terminally ill mother of Peter Quill, Meredith. But she should be familiar to Marvel fans already. She played in Captain America, the First Avenger, as Autograph Girl. We would like to think that Meredith's eagerness to get Cap's autograph is canon, but timelines just don't match up. Second is Quill's father. Described by his mother as being composed of pure light, and with Nova Prime, played by Glenn Close, stating he was an ancient being previously unheard of by the Nova Corps. In the comics, we know Peter's father is Jason, or Jason, who happened to be the son of the Galactic Empire at the time he fathered Peter. The fiery symbol sported by the Star-Lord is actually the insignia of the Spartoi, his father's race. But in the film, the symbol is that of the Ravengers. In other words, expect a few more changes to the story. Now, while on the planet of Morag, which is named in honor of the... more famous Morag, which was the first leader of the Kree people, Peter Quill spots strange remains, so to speak. Specifically, the remains in question area of a humanoid skeleton mounted on a stick with a horse skull in place of a human one. First glance, it might seem like a strange combination, but to us Marvel fans, of course, we know that's the alien race known as the Chimelians, which the most famous Chimelian of all is Beta Ray Bill. Is this the remains of Beta Ray Bill? I doubt it, but definitely someone from his race. The Saccharins. One of the biggest causes for fan excitement and speculation was the presence of Saccharin soldiers in James Gunn's foray into the cosmic side of the Marvel comics. First in the accompanying toy line, later in the film as soldiers following Korath. While these aliens play a large role in the Planet Hulk storyline, Gunn later explained that these were actually intended to be Badoon, but had to be changed due to rights issues. The Milano, that should have made sense to a lot of people. That why would Peter Quill name his ship the Milano? Well, in the comics, it was just known as ship, or the intelligence that operated it. But in the film, it's known as the Milano. And this is eloquent enough to name a vessel, but a quick reminder that Peter Quill left Earth in his rear view in 1988, and his fondness for 80s pulp culture provides a strange hint of where the name originated from. James Gunn has since confirmed that the Milano is, in fact, named for child star Alyssa Milano, who just happened to be Quill's childhood crush. Now, Yondu Yodonta, who was played by Michael Roker, is included in the film, but he's totally reimagined. Once a founding member of the original Guardians and famed archer in the comics, Villa is carried over besides this character's skin color. However, Yondu's head fin and bow and arrow are represented, are reproduced in spirit, re-envisioned as something of a psychic whistle weapon. But Yondu needs now, all Yondu needs now is an arrow, and his metal mohawk begins to grow red, and his flying weapon threatens or kills at his command. So, Ronan the Accuser, of course we know he makes his appearance in the movie, but a little time is spent explaining the history or the motivations of Ronan in the film itself. The villain is as a Kree fanatic, hell-bent on destroying Xandar for his past violence against his people. In the film version that we see, it combines elements from different takes on Ronan that he does not, but he does get to hint at his formal title when he informs the people of Xandar that they will stand accused moments before he attempts to wipe them from existence. Now, as usual, Stan Lee has kept up with his cameos in every Marvel movie. In this movie, Lee appears to be the subject of Rocket Raccoon's scorn, chanting up an attractive young woman on Xandar. Now, more cameos to go. Some others that pop up, a little bit of trivia. Lloyd Kaufman makes a cameo. As a longtime idol of James Gunn, director, writer, producer, and co-founder of classic horror studio Troma Entertainment, Lloyd Kaufman is given a blink-and-you'll-miss-it cameo in the film sequence at the kiln. When the Guardians first enter the prison, a shot reveals a number of inmates arguing, shouting at Gamora, with Kaufman unmistakably alongside them. Thanos' throne, every great ruler needs a throne just as impressive. It's hard to imagine Thanos from the comics not seated on top of his throne, grinning ear to ear. The film version follows the same idea. While the throne was only glimpsed at the end of the Avengers, Guardians gives a full view of the hovering chair, with Thanos looking as if he was recreated inch by inch off the comic page. Now, the Giving Tree and Ranger Rick references. The fact that Peter left Earth back in 1988 is a source of several jokes throughout the film, since his knowledge of pop culture effectively ended with Alf, Footloose, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Unfortunately, that also means that two of the more inspired jokes of the film may slip younger viewers completely. We speak, of course, of Will's nickname for his non-human humanoid comrades. First, he often refers to Groot as the Giving Tree, alluding to a children's book written by Shel Silverstein. But his best nod comes when he refers to Rocket Raccoon as Ranger Rick, the name of the Children Nature magazine first published in 1967. Aside from the magazine, Rick was also the star of illustrated short stories revealing to be an anthropomorphized raccoon. The Celestials, as we know, make an appearance in this as well. What does that lead for us? Having engineered human beings a million years in the past, the Celestial tampering planted seeds for more than just a few story arcs in Marvel's history. We won't go into too much, but the existence of the Deviants, the Inhumans, and the strong ties to the Kree and the Skrull are just a few that that we see in the film during the Collector's explanation of the Infinity Stones. Fans get a chance to see what looks to be a Celestial in the flesh. It's hard to say if Marvel will leap these stories at any time soon, but the presence of Nowhere provides a strong hint. Karina Walters, Ophelia Lovibond's assistant, may seem more than a background character, but her relationship to the Collector in Marvel Comics is a bit more complicated. Officially credited as Karina, it's safe to assume that she is Karina Walters, daughter of the Collector and the future wife of Michael Korvac, the villain also known as the Enemy. Now, other cameos that people were excited about. The first word that Cosmo, the Soviet-era space dog member of the Guardians, will be appearing in the film, elated many. Although the story had enough to deal with without bringing this gifted canine to the picture, Gunn left the door open for a future appearance, choosing to include the dog in the Collector's belongings and making sure it escaped the disaster that presumably either killed or freed many of the other imprisoned specimens. Other imprisoned specimens was the Chakar, Chitauri, the Collected Elves, the Slither. Now, proving that it wasn't just elements of the Marvel Universe that the Collector was keen on keeping safe, the alien parasites that acted as the villains of Slither, James Gunn's directorial debut, is also seen. During the first encounter with Guardians and the Collector, several can be seen slithering around across the inside of a glass display. Howard the Duck himself makes an appearance near the end, actually during the end credit scene, voiced by Seth Green. It was just there just for the sake. That doesn't mean anything's coming further down the road with a Howard the Duck movie. But one can hope. Now, Rocket Raccoon, his story, humble beginnings, tragedy, and film triumph. It is a lot here, and this is a good reason why. Definitely support fans of the Weeby Geeks Network, or friends of the Weeby Geeks Network, Heroes Initiative, because they do help the creators out when they become in financial need. It's all Heroes Initiative, I guess one way you could put it, is it's almost their insurance, so to speak. It's a great cause, great, and they do some great things, definitely, for the comic book creators we've grown to know and love. Rocket Raccoon, the character director James Gunn described as the heart of the film, was created in 1976 by Mel Mantlow with artist Keith Giffen. And the most breakout characters, Rocket made a much overlooked debut in a small story within Marvel Preview number 7. Now, from the humble beginnings, Rocket has evolved over the years with the help from Mantlo, Geffen, and writers Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning into the wisecracking but lovable technician that filmgoers are seeing today. Although the creation is finding new life, Mantlo's career, both as a writer and a lawyer, came to a halt after being the victim of a hit-and-run back in 1992, resulting in a devastating brain injury. To quote his brother, Bill is and has been trapped in the world of confusion and despair since his accident 22 years ago. The cognitive defects he suffered have left him unable to reason or understand his situation, and he struggles daily to maintain any control over his own mind. For someone with his intellect and imagination, this is the absolutely worst type of injury that could have ever happened to him. Michael is his guardian, legal guardian, and is hoping that the movie renews interest among the fans in the Bill Mantlo's support fund. It's accessible through Greg Pak's PakBuzz website, which is PakBuzz.com, and it helps raise money for Bill's continuing care and recovery. Despite Bill's ongoing physical struggles, Michael has said that the greatest day of the last 22 years is when Marvel Studios arranged a private viewing of Guardians of the Galaxy for Bill and his family. And after Bill gave the movie 2 thumbs up, his brother reflected on the way the movie honored the writer's vision for Rocket Raccoon. According to Michael, "I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was outstanding, and I'm predicting that it will be this new generation's equivalent of Star Wars. I believe this is the best Marvel movie has made to date. Bill's creation, along with Keith Geffen, Rocket Raccoon, is true to the character that Bill created all those years ago. I bet brought up to date, dialogue-wise," he added. "He's irreverent, sarcastic, cynical, bold, cunning, daring, and unbelievably powerful far beyond his physical size. And yet, underneath the gruff exterior, beats the heart of a caring, compassionate hero," which is what Bill wrote him to be. So it was the opportunity for him to see his creation come to the big screen. They said it was the first time he has smiled in several years. So I'm pleased to know that Marvel, being a Disney company, was able to provide such a magical moment, even if it was to one of the creators of the characters used in the movie. The nice thing was, too, Bill Mantlo was acknowledged in the credits for his creation of Rocket Raccoon, along with Geffen and Jim Starlin, who got credit for creating Drax, Gamora, and Thanos. Abnett and Lanning, who also got to visit the set during filming, were acknowledged in the credits for creating the modern Guardians team. It's also known that Mantlo is well known for his works on Micronauts, and the writer's brother is hoping that the readers and perhaps new fans of the movie will help donate to Bill's fund to help with his medical needs. Although the medical scientific community has given up hope, I refuse that his life cannot to believe that his life cannot be improved. I feel that he can experience new surroundings with a caring and attentive team and staff supporting him, and he can regain some semblance of control, and his quality of life can be upgraded into the future. That is my goal. Any and all contributions to the Bill Mantlo Support Fund through PacBuzz.com are used to assist me as Bill's legal guardian in helping bring him a happier and healthier future. And for those who donate, have my eternal gratitude. So, great story, great feel-good story there. Now, let's hit something we should be a little concerned about. Superhero overload. 8 major comic book movies planned for 2017. That's right, folks. I didn't say 1. I didn't say 5. Didn't say 10, I said 8. While much has been written about 2015 being the perfect storm of tentpoles, including sequels to Star Wars, The Avengers, Mission Impossible, The Hunger Games, Jurassic Park, Fast and Furious, and Terminator, 2017 is shaping up to be a showdown of showdowns amongst the superhero ranks. Between Disney's Marvel Studios, Warner Brothers, DC Entertainment, and 20th Century Fox, they all have plans to release films featuring comic book-based crime fighters, combined for a record 8 movies in 2017. Sony is developing an 8th that has not yet been dated. They're not expecting to be small titles either. Marvel alone has 3 planned for prime dates in 2017, out in May, July, and November. DC has 2, June and November. Fox has sequels planned for The Wolverine and Fantastic Four, while Sony is developing a Spider-Man spin-off revolving around a female heroine. So far, the November dates won't create another Marvel vs. DC game of chicken, like the recent face-off between Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, or Captain America 3, in which DC kind of fell apart and they moved Batman vs. Superman to a March 25th day, Easter weekend 2016, excuse me. That's because Marvel will release first on November 3rd in 2017, followed by DC's November 17th, 2017 date. Both films are untitled at this time. Planting flags early on in the future release dates isn't unusual for studios as they look to lock down prime moving-going moments. But such planning for major tentpoles is also key for studios when working on promotional partners to create campaigns, or with toy makers and other partners to design action figures and other merchandise set around the releases. So, 2017 looks to be a very, very busy year. And just alone, Marvel is going to gamble with dates locked in. Here's like 9 movies that are 9 properties that they should take a gamble on. First one, Captain Marvel. No excuse. If Talking Raccoons and Trees that no one's ever heard of can earn you 90-plus million opening weekend, I think a superhero featuring the brand name can do it as well. Carol Danvers is awesome, and it's a way past time for a Captain Marvel movie. Number 2, Black Panther. For all reasons listed with Captain Marvel, Black Panther is a fantastic and important character who is more than worthy of his own film. If moviegoers can handle Nowhere, they can certainly handle 2 hours in the uber-advanced kingdom of Wakanda. Fewer sequels. Guardians proves that there's an appetite for all new original titles within the Marvel brand. We've seen a whole lot of Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. And while we're up for seeing more, we're also up for seeing less. Once a year or once every other year would work. Fourth thing we could see is Planet Hulk. Then again, this is one sequel we could really get behind. The world's ready for Marvel in outer space. It's been proven with Guardians of the Galaxy. The world really likes the Hulk. Put the two together and watch the world explode with pure glee. We already talked about one female lead. How about another? Lawyer by day, Hulk-powered hero by night. Jennifer Walters is one of the greatest heroes of the Marvel Universe and has more than enough ability to carry on a film of her own on her own shoulders. Though a courtroom drama on Netflix might be even better. And of course, we're talking about the She-Hulk. Nova getting his own film would be a great idea. The groundwork's been laid for future films featuring the Nova Corps. So why not go all in with the story of one specific Nova in particular, Richard Rider, Sam Alexander, or an all-new character created specifically for the Marvel Cinematic Universe? We've seen the Celestials already. Why not the Inhumans? Recently, Marvel has taken to describing the story of Black Bolt and his family as a Game of Thrones in space. Who could say no to that? And then, obviously, Black Widow in the number eight spot. If we're going to do, there's no reason to bring Natasha Romanoff to her own film. It'd be great. Toss in roles for Frank Castle and some of Marvel's other gritty lethal characters. You have Winter Soldier's levels of cool with Black Widow. And one that I guess could use a nice little reboot. Personal favorite of mine from the 80s and one of the first films to really launch the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so to speak, Howard the Duck. I would love to see another Howard the Duck movie pop in. So, after the break, we're going to talk comics and some stuff to go with the 75th anniversary of Marvel and, of course, the new comic book day picks of the week. And you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks with Mike on Sorcerer Radio, and we'll be back right after this break.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffer and stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at Meet the Magic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary. Can we go again?
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi,
like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. srsounds.com.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks with Mike here on Sorcerer Radio. Sony's planning a female lead Spider-Man spinoff sometime after Sinister Six. Sony Pictures has big plans in store for its Spider-Man movie franchise. Despite the fact that, you know, the rumored bankruptcy issues, apparently they are going to continue writing the coattails of Spider-Man. Aside from the new release dates for Sinister Six and The Amazing Spider-Man 3, it's been revealed that the studio will further expand its the Spider-Man cinematic universe by mining one of its female superheroes for a spin-off flick. According to Deadline, Sony has plans to feature a female lead Spider-Man spin-off movie, focusing on one of the comic book's many female characters. All we know for sure is that Lisa Joy Nolan is writing the script. Producers Avi Arad and Matt Talmach are on board, and the film is eyeing a 2017 release date, which we talked about. 2017 is going to be a cramped year as it is. Based on what was shown in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, it seems likely that Black Cat might get her chance for a solo movie, since Felicity Jones portrayed Felicia Hardy, Black Cat's alter ego. Other names tossed around by Deadline is Silver Sable, Stunner, Firestar, and Spider-Woman. Vegas money, so to speak, is currently on Black Cat, though we know that Spider-Man 2 sets up another standalone Spider-Man movie. Sinister Six will team up some of Spider-Man's most notorious villains and will likely feature the return of Dane DeHaan's Green Goblin and Paul Giamatti's Rhino, while Dr. Octopus and Vulture are also teased. As of now, Sinister Six will appear November 11th, 2016, while The Amazing Spider-Man 3 has been pushed back into 2018. There's also the Venom movie, which has yet to have an official release date, and Deadline kind of reports that the title might be Venom Carnage. Stay tuned for more info there. Now, some casting news with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Henry Simmons joins Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The NYPD Blue vet returns to NBC after a long time away. Henry Simmons has joined the cast of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a reoccurring role of Alfonso Mack McKenzie, a mechanic in his 30s. The character is inspired by the one that first appeared in Nick Fury vs. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 3. In the series, McKenzie will be a mechanic in his 30s, aligning himself with Coulson's team. Known for his roles as Detective Baldwin Jones in NYPD Blue and Isaac Wright in Shark, Simmons joins a host of new characters coming to Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which will be premiering Tuesday, September 23rd at 9 p.m. Others that have joined the cast will be Lucy Lawless as Isabel Hartley, Reed Diamond as Daniel Whitehall, and Nick Blood as Lance Hunter. The new cast members join the returning cast, Clark Gregg, Ming-Na Wen, Brett Dalton, Elizabeth Henstridge, Ian DeCastecker, and Chloe Bennett. Stay tuned here for more of that information. Now, as we know, this year is Marvel's 75th anniversary. And earlier this year, Marvel at Marvel.com and through your social media channels. Put out a call asking you, the fans, to help select the 75 greatest comics in the history of the House of Ideas. And the fans came through big time with thousands of responses, narrowing down 75 years of the greatest characters and most talented creators did not prove to be an easy task. Based on all the results, Marvel has tabulated their top 75. Give us a shout on mmg@weebiegeeks.net or look in the show notes for our hotline number and let me know how you feel about the top 50. So I'm going to read to you the top 50 of the 75 picked of the Marvel of what you, the fans, chose as the greatest Marvel comics of all time. Number 50, Avengers. Number 57 from 1963, from the 63 volume of the Avengers. 49, Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and David Ayer. 48, Giant Size X-Men number 1. Number 47, Avengers, the Korvac Saga. Number 46, Amazing Spider-Man number 700. 45, Astonishing X-Men by Joss Whedon and John Cassidy. Coming in at number 44, Amazing Spider-Man from the 1999 series, number 36. 43, Amazing Spider-Man number 50 from the 63 series. Number 2, The Ultimates, number 1. Number 41, Planet Hulk. In at 40, Fantastic Four 285. Number 39, Captain America from the 2004 series, number 25. 38, Avengers, the Kree-Skrull War. And number 37, Thunderbolts, number 1 from the 1977 series. Number 36, we have Nick Fury, the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. by Steranko. Number 35, Amazing Spider-Man number 63, numbers 31 through 33 from the 1963 series. 34, Avengers Ultron Unlimited. Number 33, Avengers vs. X-Men. In number 32 spot, X-Men Fatal Attractions. Number 31, Thor number 337. Number 30, Incredible Hulk 181. In the 29 position, Iron Man Extremis. In 28, Spider-Man Blue. 27 brings us Spider-Man Maximum Carnage. 26 brings us House of M. Now cracking the top half of this list. 25, The Death of Captain Marvel. 24, Warlock by Jim Starlin. 23, Fantastic Four, The Galactus Trilogy. 22, X-Men, The Age of Apocalypse. 21, X-Men, God Loves, Man Kills. Number 20, Secret Invasion. 19, Daredevil 181. In the 18th slot, Avengers Under Siege. Coming in at 17, The Kid Who Collected Spider-Man. 16, Annihilation. 15, from the 1962 series, Hulk number 1. From the 1961 series, Fantastic Four number 1 comes in at 14. Captain America Comics number 1 comes in at 13. Avengers number 1 from the 1963 series at number 12. At 11 is the Secret Wars. Now our top 10. Coming in at number 10, Amazing Fantasy number 15. Number 9, Captain America the Winter Soldier. Number 8, Marvel's number 1. Number 7, The Infinity Gauntlet. Number 6, Chris Claremont's Days of Future Past. Rounding off the top 5, X-Men, The Dark Phoenix Saga. Number 4, Daredevil, Born Again. Number 3, Spider-Man, Kraven's Last Hunt. Number 2, Civil War. And coming in at the top spot, Spider-Man, The Death of Gwen Stacy. Also, too, as part of this, this is all, I believe, going to be part of one huge omnibus, the Marvel 75th Anniversary Omnibus, which comes out in November. The cover is absolutely amazing. It's done by Paulo Rivera. You can check it out on Marvel.com. So there you have it. That's the top 50 at the top 75. But while we're talking stories, we want to wish here at Mighty Marvel Geeks, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Jessica Drew. 1977 was her debut in as Spider-Woman in Marvel Spotlight 32. Just a few months after Jessica hung up her tights in Avengers 241, a new hero emerged to pick up where she left off. Julia Carpenter may have been the second Spider-Woman, but she is the first one to join the Avengers. Julia Carpenter first appeared 30 years ago this month in Secret Wars number 6 by Jim Shooter and Mike Zeck. The new Spider-Woman made her debut at the halfway point of an epic battle between a number of Earth's villains and heroes, all orchestrated by the all-powerful cosmic being called the Beyonder. A Carpenter made a cameo appearance lurking in the shadows just outside of the hero's stronghold. With that tease out of the way, Spider-Woman made her full debut on the first page of the very next issue. Of course, how Spider-Woman gained her powers still remained a mystery, and some of the Avengers treated her with caution. James Rhodes, who had secretly taken over as Iron Man at the time, made sure to pay attention to Julia for more than just security reasons. Later, Julia watched as her home suburb separated itself from Battle World and returned to Earth. Spider-Woman cannot return home just yet. She still had work to do alongside her future teammates. With the combined threats of Dr. Doom and Galactus defeated, Carpenter finally returned to Earth alongside the rest of the kidnapped superheroes. She initially joined the government-sponsored Freedom Force unit, but failed to fit in with them. After all, she had previously been known as the Brotherhood of... They had been previously known as the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. She eventually joined the West Coast Avengers, becoming the first spider-powered individual to fight alongside Earth's mightiest heroes. So happy birthday to Julia Carpenter, a.k.a. Spider-Woman. Guardians of the Galaxy has been making their way. They've been around 40-plus years. Most of you, all you know the Guardians for is the movie. Let me give you 8 Guardians of the Galaxy collections to get you started if you want to get into more of Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy, Tomorrow's Avengers, Volume 1. Think the Guardians were always worthy of guarding the galaxy? Think again. Watch the Guardians squad save the day with the help of Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Featuring the familiar faces of Captain America, Doctor Strange, The Thing, Hulk, and more. The number 2 collection. Take a look at Star-Lord, Guardian of the Galaxy trade paperback. Experience Peter Quill's quest for vengeance following his mother's murder at the hands of evil aliens. Number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy by Jim Valentino, Volume 1. Jim Valentino brings you this gripping Guardians adventures to you all the way from the 31st century. Join Guardians Vance Astro, Alien Archer Yondo, and Mercurian named Nikki as they keep the Guardians safe from cosmic level threats. Jim Starlin's seminal work charts the Man Titans Thanos' ride to dominance with the cosmic powerful Infinity Gauntlet on his hand. The death obsessed maniac makes quick work of every single hero in the Marvel Universe. Will they be able to stop Thanos from killing off the entire universe? This you find in Infinity Gauntlet. In the number 5 slot, Guardians of the Galaxy by Abnett and Lanning, Complete Collection, Volume 1. This is it, the material that inspired the smash hit Guardians of the Galaxy. Witness the birth of the current Guardians team as Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, Groot, Rocket, and more band together to face threats both cosmic and strange. Number 6 spot, Rocket, Raccoon, and Groot, the Complete Collection. After the Guardians disbanded, Rocket Raccoon settled into a quiet life with a steady job in the mailroom. But with a killer clown made of sentient wood attacks him at work, the trigger-fingered and quick-witted hero must journey to Planet X, home of his old buddy Groot. Number 7, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1, Cosmic Avengers. This is the Brian Michael Bendis team-up with Stephen McNiven and Sarah Pichelli to launch the Guardians of the Galaxy into the spotlight. this time they have one extra passenger on their ship. That's Iron Man. And then finally, Thanos, the Infinity Revelation. Thanos has returned to the Marvel Universe and now seeks to bring his own brand of order to all that occupy it. With a sworn enemy at his side, the Mad Titan embarks on a new quest to conquer the galaxy. So check out these on Marvel.com or on the Marvel Comics app, or even Marvel Unlimited, the Marvel Unlimited app. So this week, new comic book day. This would be for August 13th, 2014. I got four books for you this week. First book in the selection is Nova Special number one. It's conclusion to the Uncanny X-Men Iron Man Nova crossover. No end in sight. Nova gets tied up to an adventure with the Uncanny X-Men and Iron Man that takes them halfway across the galaxy. See three of the best books at Marvel collide into one. Number two, written by Mighty Marvel Geeks guest Joe Caramagna, the Red Skull has turned the Avengers into a rampaging monsters. Hulk and Black Widow must team up to stop the raging Hulk Avengers. And you find this in Marvel Universe Avengers Assemble number 11. Number three is Captain America number 23, written by Rick Remender. The Tomorrow Soldier part two. Zola has waged war on New York. Without a Captain America to lead them, can the Avengers stop Biofanatic's plot for revenge? The Falcon faces a dark secret from Captain America's past. And finally, my last pick for this week, Deadpool, Dracula's Gauntlet, number 6. Representing the hit Infinity comic in print for the first time, Deadpool and his bride-to-be take on the forces of Dracula, for keeps. Plus an all-new epilogue story. So, there we have it for Mighty Marvel Geeks this week. It's been my pleasure being with you and allowing me to join you this week. Check us out on WeebieGeeks.net for the podcast, which releases on Sunday at 6:16 in the morning. There's a reason for 6:16, and it has to do with Marvel. Feel free to look us up on Twitter at Marvel Geeks. Download us on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you like the show, give us a 5-star review, please. And let us know how you feel. You can always leave comments as well. Until next time, from me, Mike, I know from Ken, who's on vacation, we thank you, and be sure to check out the rest of the shows on Sorcerer Radio, from Sorcom Review to Disney's Trip Tips, WDW Tiki Room, DW 60 with Jeff Davis, E-Ticket Time, William Hershey Show, which the title escapes me at this moment. I definitely will have that for you next week. Check out the website, sorcererradio.com, and again, the podcast version of this show at weebiegeeks.net. WDW After Dark returns August 22nd for more Friday Evening Madness. So until next time, thank you, and I'm out.
This has been a Weebie Geeks production.